Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside my award-winning co-host, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
I won an award?
You have.
Because you've won all the awards. There's no more room on the wall.
I just threw it to you.
I know. And
What do you think is in that envelope?
I'm going to be Karnak. How dare you throw me an envelope right before we go on the air? Because I now have to, you know, say what's in here, and I got to wait.
Your walking papers.
Yeah. Oh, so you finally fired me. So guys, forgive me if you hear a little paper rustling as I look at what's inside.
There you go. We got a great show today. We've got some wonderful guests in the studio. From Monkey Wrench Brewing Company, we have Wayne Baxter and Joe Dreer. Dreer as in beer.
Right.
And they brought some product with them.
Is that why you dramatically paused after you said their company name and before you said their names?
Yes.
Yes, because you were looking at the beer.
I'm looking actually at the wrench and the blue monkey.
Yes.
He brought it all. He brought props.
And the jar with beer inside.
He brought props to a radio show.
He's very smart.
Yes, he is. We're going to take lots of pictures today, one way or another. Also joining us from Elevated Image, Anna Hopkins. And Anna probably appreciates the fact that Wayne brought props. Good image right here.
Exactly.
It's his business. And from 31 Training, Connie Catalano. So we appreciate all our guests. We're going to start with Wayne and Joe from Monkey Wrench Brewing Company. Joe Dreer and Wayne Baxter. Wayne is the founder and master brewer. Good morning, gentlemen. Wayne, go ahead and tell us about Monkey Wrench Brewing and what you guys are up to.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for having us here. Joe and I have been at this the last 3 years, but basically me and some buddies started homebrewing. Everybody chipped in $10 a piece. Five of us went to the store, brought back a little system. We brewed on our kitchen stovetop for a few times until we made a few messes. And one story was we went to get a change of CD in my buddy Mark's house. He came back and beer was everywhere. So then we kind of migrated outside to the turkey cooker and a little safer outside, of course. And then my New London homebrew buddies helped me build a 10-gallon system. So basically went from a 5 to a 10-gallon system. And we had a lot of fun with it. And we're always changing up the recipes. That's how we kind of came up with the name Monkey Wrench, because it's in my tool room basement. We had to knock tools out, get tools out of the way to make room for the kegerator. So we finally said, hey, there's a wrench on the wall and a hammer. Let's go Monkey Wrench. So it's a good name, fun brand. And we're having fun with it.
We have a lot of business owners come on here and explain how they got started. You had the best story, though.
Okay.
You had one of the best stories.
Thanks.
But at what point did you say, okay, wait, there's a business here? It's not just guys having fun. There's a business here.
Back in 2011, I was asked, I say, hey, Wayne, you have a marketing degree. It would always be cool to have a business-to-consumer type product. And, you know, what can I do? And I thought, well, I make pretty good beer. Let's try that. So I read two books, Beer School and Brewing Up a Business by some pretty good brewers at Dogfish Head and Brooklyn Beer Company. So those two books motivated me to get my LLC and get it started.
What, when it comes to being a home brewer and when it comes to being a microbrewery, what does it take to be successful at that? It are a lot of the same things that make other business successful the same with you guys, or what is different about the home brewing business?
Most of the brewers out there started out as home brewers, so everybody had to start somewhere. So they take their passion, you know, out of their garage or their backyard and really take it to the next level. The only tricky thing is it costs a few hundred K to buy a nice system.
Wait, so we went from $10 each to a few hundred K?
Yeah. Okay. It was a little bit of a stair step, but I have long legs. I'm trying to jump up there.
Is there a lot of, paperwork and licensing and hoops you have to jump through when it comes to brewing beer?
Yeah, that's what we're going to find out here pretty darn soon, because we're getting ready to order a 30-barrel system. So we're going from 10 gallons to over 900 gallons of beer on the wall. And so the federal guys.
Take one down, pass it around.
He did. He brought one with a wrench and a blue monkey on it.
So. But yeah, the Treasury guys, for some reason, with their tax money, so that's the first hurdle. Then you got to get state and local approval. And then you got to pick a distributor because they want to help you build your brand and take the beer out there. So it's about if I had every nickel I needed today, it'd probably be close to a year before we got a beer out the door.
Wayne, you also brought with you Joe Dreer. And Joe, you're the creative director at Monkey Wrench Brewing. Yep. Talk about how you take the beer to market. Talk about how you find your market. Because obviously at first, I'm sure it was share it with friends and family, but that is not going to be enough to build a company. So what are some of the marketing things you do, and how do you take it to the public?
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. To take it to the market is something that's extremely challenging because we're not only trying to add another great beer to the portfolio of Georgia craft beers, but we're also playing on the national level. So we've been pretty aggressive as far as our promotional campaign. Past 3 years or so, been showing up at local state festivals. We've been pushing our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, merchandise, you name it. So we're really just giving it our all here.
And the market of craft beer, you know, you said you show up at state festivals, and that was that's kind of one of the things I thought is you got to get in front of people, and they got to try it, and they got to go, that's really good.
Yeah.
So is it building brand loyalty, and how do people become repeat customers after they see you at the state fair? You know, how do you turn them from a taste into a long-term customer?
Yeah, that's a good segue into this, and one of the big motivating factors that have really given us the confidence to go pro with Wayne's Beers is the fact that not just our friends and family have been slurping it up, but we've racked up several awards for the home beers, so we know that it's a proven product.
Yeah, our biggest claim to fame is the Very Merry Monkey. It's a Christmas beer with some holiday spices like ginger and rosemary, and we've won almost $800 on the homebrew circuit, you know, promoting that beer and tasting it at four different events.
Very Berry Monkey?
Very Merry.
Very Merry Monkey.
Yeah.
So to come up with a name for the beer, do you sit around a table, drink a lot of the beer, and then the names just start flowing, I would think?
That's pretty much the way it works.
I've got you guys figured out pegged pretty quickly, don't I?
So some of the ones that didn't make it were Arara, right? I mean, is that pretty fair to say? So.
Yeah, there's a couple of those in the mix, of course.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the other flavors and beers and that you either have in the works or already have out there or you know, are planning for the future.
Yeah, sure. Basically, it depends on the time of year. In the summertime, you don't want a real heavy beer, so we make some good session beers like Belgian Wits and Kolsches, German Kolsches, so it's kind of light, and you can drink four or five of them. In the wintertime, we kind of lean toward the milk stouts and the barrel aging with a Jack Daniel's barrel on some Imperial Stouts, and then the holiday beers, of course, you add some different spices and honey and some different other ingredients. So it depends on the time of year. Beer is very seasonal. So anytime you go out there, you can find a beer pretty much. They make a lot of pumpkin beers in the fall. So it just depends on, you know, and everybody's taste is always changing, so we always try to wrench it up a notch and put something out there, experiment with some hops and hop it up as well.
Now, you said you started with some friends and everybody threw in $10. Talk a little bit about the team. You've got Joe as the marketing director, and he mentioned you as the beer maker. So talk about the team. Are there other beer makers? What other, you know, who makes up Monkey Wrench today?
Okay. Well, like I said before, my New London homebrew buddies helped me, you know, create a nice system. So they're very influential in helping me get this far. And then his brother Matt was my tennis buddy, and that's how I met Joe from playing tennis and sampling the beers after tennis. So Joe's been a great partner to work with and really getting our name out there, going to Brewfest, just selling t-shirts and caps, and people are thirsty for our beer and we give out free tasting, but Joe's all over social media. And then we have another gentleman named Ashton Cheatham, this the retail expert. So he's been in the retail industry for years and years and years, and he talks our brand up and he knows, you know, what to suggest as far as brewing, you know, different styles and different times of the year.
And the friends who started with you before you got kicked out of your kitchen and into the tool room, they're still loyal customers, I would assume. Do they still kind of want to come around and help a little bit?
Yeah, they get thirsty from time to time. A couple of guys moved and they kind of fell off the side of this side of where I live. But my next door neighbors, Randy, helped me a lot, and then a couple other tennis buddies as well. But everybody's kind of, you know, that was 16, 17 years ago, so that length of time, people kind of migrate different areas. But it's been a fun journey.
They're knocking at his door at midnight on Friday night. Wayne, we're out of beer. Wayne Baxter and Joe Dreher joining us from Monkey Wrench Brewing Company. Explain again now, where are you in the process? I mean, you've got the business, but the product itself, it's not on the shelves yet. So explain where you are and where you your time frame as far as being able to actually have the product where people can get it.
Okay, sure. Basically, last year we tried to have somebody else help us brew some beer, but it didn't quite work out, so we're just blazing our own path. So we're right now getting ready to get a down payment on the system, this $500K or $600K, depending on the options we pick. So the investors are chipping in, and we're getting ready to go mainstream with it. But first, we have to have a good location. We have two picked out. So it's all about putting the lease, getting the lease paper signed on the location and getting the systems ordered. And then we can start the build out with a cool tasting room and do the drains for the brewery. So it's a pretty big endeavor on the build out as well.
I take it there's a growing market for this kind of beer.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mike. So basically the craft beer movement has been kicking butt for the last 10 years plus. It's a double digit growth every year. But the craft beer market's only less than 8% of the liquid volume. But craft beer is $14 billion of a $100 billion industry. So the craft beer phase just keeps going and going and going. There's a brewery opening up almost every day in the U.S.
And Joe, you had mentioned before about Georgia craft brewing a little bit. Talk a little bit about specifically in Georgia, what makes it unique, what makes it special, what makes it stand out?
Yeah, it's unique. As you know, our lovely home state of Georgia is sometimes slow to catch up with the rest of the country, and it's really phenomenal to be a part of this movement here. And you know, there's a lot of value in planting your flag in your backyard, no matter how difficult it is, and that's something that we're going to stand by. So we're joining a really fantastic crew of other brewers that are standing up and fighting for their passion. And you know, we're all in this just to have a good time with good folks.
And you guys have mentioned, I mean, Wayne, you talked about New London kind of helping you out. It sounds like while you're in direct competition with each other, the market you're in is designed around having a good time.
This industry is very collaborative. I've never seen an industry where a five-minute conversation could last 30 to 45 minutes. So we've interviewed breweries. We've done our homework, and that's why we're confident we're going to be successful. We've interviewed over 100 breweries throughout the country and visited 50-plus. So our research paper is out there.
Well, the five-minute phone call turning into a 30-minute conversation, it's always over a good glass of beer is what I would
I'm
imagine.
Trying to wrap my mind around a five-minute conversation is actually a 35-minute conversation. Wait, that's not physically...
It's two nice steins of beer, that's what it turns into.
I do want to make sure that when you have your brick and mortar and you guys are up, that we are invited to the whole grand opening and we can maybe do some broadcasting out there.
Oh, yeah. That would be excellent. We're also going to have some bands, and if you guys have any instruments, you can bring those and you can jam with us too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that go out loud?
I think you got something in you, Steven.
Steven will sing.
What are you
sing.
Hiding over there?
He'll sing. All right, tell folks, give website, social media sites, any place where people can find out more about Monkey Wrench Brewing.
Yes, thanks, Mike and Steven. You can find Monkey Wrench Brewing at monkeywrenchbrewing.com. Read our story there. We also are active in keeping y'all updated via at Monkey Brews Twitter, at Monkey Wrench Brewing Instagram, and we're also on Facebook. So send us a shout out. We look forward to sharing our delicious beers with you guys soon. Thanks.
Hopefully as soon as this show is over, right, Stephen?
You got
that
it.
That would be good.
All right, Wayne and Joe, thank you so much. Monkey Wrench Brewing, appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Wrench it up a notch, baby.
All right, there you go. He is a marketing guy.
You should
guy.
Put that on your business card. I believe that's their slogan. Well, it's a great slogan, visual.
If Wayne will give me permission, I want to keep the monkey and I want the wrench too.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll get it, but we'll ask anyway. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from the company Elevated Image, Anna Hopkins. She is the owner of the company. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Mike.
I'm sorry. I'll turn you on again so you can say good morning one more time.
Good morning, Mike.
There she is.
I swear I haven't touched the beer yet. I haven't.
Okay.
Elevated Image, Anna, is the name of the company. Tell us what your company does.
So I am an image consultant, which means that I work with professionals. My clientele is primarily female business owners and executives, 45 plus. And I work with my clients and help them figure out how they want to be seen by others, and then teach them how to do it in the way that's best for their body, their personality, their lifestyle, so that as they're meeting people, both personally and professionally, they're making really great, consistent, authentic impressions and using that to build their business and have a better lifestyle, whether it's, you know, dating or, you know, just trying to meet new people in a new city. I've helped people with a lot of different aspects of that.
So it's the kind of like the book to the cover. It's the looks, mm-hmm. it's the hair, it's the clothes, it's the makeup. Because we're going to talk to Connie Catalano in just a few minutes, and mm-hmm. she talks more about training for your business to be mm-hmm. to be a leader. You're more about the appearance.
Yeah, that's primarily what I focus on. Your image is not just the way that you look; it's also the way that you behave and communicate. Because our image is how we're perceived by others. So it's all of the things that influence that. When I work with clients, I primarily focus on appearance, but I have had coaching clients where I've helped them prep for interviews. I had a client who left the military after 29 years. He retired and had to kind of transition into civilian. So not only did we work on appearance, but we worked on interview prep and translating, you know, military objectives and jargon into something that would be good for corporate. Done a lot of different things like that too, but my favorite part is the appearance part. I really enjoy shopping and like buying clothes and playing with makeup and all that kind of stuff. So that's my favorite part, but I do like some of the coaching stuff too. It's just not as large of a part of my business.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and it's not really just physical, because it is psychological as well. Because if you look better and you know you look good, you feel better. You've got more confidence.
That is my absolute favorite part about the job. That moment when someone looks in the mirror and they start making like this face with like, oh my God, they start saying how good they look, and you see them, they stand up straighter. They've got a little bit more energy in their face and glow in their face. When I was in high school is when they started really having all of like the makeover TV shows, and those were like my crack. Because I loved watching them. I loved watching the transformation. I loved watching people feel so much better about themselves. And that's one of the things that I love about what I do is it's right now we're all into like instant gratification. So like you don't have to go to the gym for 6 months to look better and all that kind of stuff. I can help you look better today. And that's one of my favorite parts, is because there's a transformation that can happen very quickly versus having to really work at it for a long time to see any results.
We're talking with Anna Hopkins from Elevated Image. Anna, when you're talking about someone's image, and it sounded like you said you work mainly with females, but it sounds like you also have worked with males in the past. So let me ask this question. When it comes to people's image, what are some of the common mistakes that you see that you can correct?
I'll say that especially for my clientele, one of the biggest problems that they have is trying to balance looking good but still looking age appropriate. You know, that being stylish but not trying to look like you're trying to be 20, but not looking like you're a frumpy 80-year-old woman about to go to the early bird special. That's a big thing that I see with a lot of my clients. The other thing, and men do this too, but it's not as big of a problem for them, but is that like weekend casual, like dressy casual, where you've got either, you know, you've got your work clothes and people are pretty okay with that, or they've got their gym clothes. But then when it comes to that, something that you want to go out to dinner in, or if you're going to go like run errands, and you really shouldn't be running errands in your sweats, because inevitably you'll run into someone and then you'll feel gross and like a slob and everything. A lot of people have problems with that middle area of, I like to call it casual chic. Like you still want to look put together, but you also want to look situationally appropriate.
Don't ever go to Walmart about 1 a.m. You will just die. What people wear, you just don't do it.
I wouldn't. I would be very upset, I think.
I do have a question, though. Do you work with clients? Is it just a one-time deal, or is it an ongoing process when you work with your clients?
So I have a couple of different ways that I work with clients. I work with clients. I do packages. So usually I work with a client at least, you know, 4 sessions. Some of my clients we will add on after that. There's larger packages where we'll go shopping together and stuff. And then I have some personal shopping clients where they just don't even want to deal with it. When I do the packages with clients, I actually teach them. We go through a process where we figure out exactly what is best for their body, personality, lifestyle, and I teach them how to do it for themselves. Some of my clients don't care. They don't want to do it. Like, they just want clothes to appear in their closet. And so I do that for some people. So it really depends. But a lot of my clients, you know, even if we've worked together, I'll get a call even, you know, 6 months, a year later, and they want to do a refresher, or they need help with a specific, you know, a wedding coming up or something like that. So it usually tends to be a bit of a longer engagement. And I try to keep track of them and make sure that they are maintaining all of the progress that we made.
The people who want clothes to just show up in their closet, Anna Hopkins is the magic shopping elf for them, apparently.
Oh, I am.
So, Anna, you talked about teaching, and there might be some business owners listening who go, yeah, I really could use the help. I don't know if I can afford the whole individual package. I notice you also do some group seminars. Talk a little bit about that and how people might be able to benefit from your knowledge and experience in a group setting.
Okay. So I do group seminars. One of the ones that I do most consistently right now, is actually a seminar on bras.
That would be for the female clients,
yes,
I assume.
For the female clients only.
What a fantastic question, Mike.
Yes. Right? just because it's one of those things where at least all the ladies have heard the statistic that, you know, 80% of women are wearing the wrong size bra, but then there's no like follow up. Like, what do you do with that information?
Right.
Right.
I'm wrong, then, but I don't know what to do now.
Well, and then, you know, women are like, oh, okay, I'll go get sized at Victoria's Secret. Well, Victoria's Secret carries less than 10% of the sizes that exist. So then they just try to shove you into whatever they can sell you. So what I do is I teach people. I mean, a lot of people don't know, like, cup sizes go up to like N, like, and a lot of people that you think are like D's are really like H's. So there's a whole, like, I mean, it's a whole thing. So what I do is I teach people, because my goal is to not only get women properly fit that day, but I want them to understand that, like, as things change and as our bodies changes, what to look for so that they don't go, you know, 5 years without changing what they need to, what they need to change with bras. I also have some different group seminars that I do on, one of them I have is on like building a mix and match wardrobe. So it's how to, in women's magazines, a lot of times you'll see like buy 10 pieces, make 573 outfits, you know, and it's, you try to recreate it. And unless you copy it exactly, it never works out quite right. There's like a formula to it. And there's sort of a ratio of colors and neutrals that you need. And so I teach a class on that for people that are really trying to build something functional like that. It's really great for people who travel. And then I have a couple other little seminars that I'll do, and I do some networking events and stuff. We'll have me come in and speak too.
And that's what I was going to say. These seminars are designed for groups, whether they'd be just female executives, mm-hmm. or a you know, a networking group or a chamber,
yeah.
to be able to come in and give really practical advice.
Oh, yeah.
And what I noticed probably, and you know what, and you can speak to this if you want to, but I would imagine what you do in your realm. Everyone knows they need it, but either they don't want to admit it, or they think they can't afford it, or they're like, yeah, but she couldn't work with me because I'm impossible, or whatever their excuse is, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome.
There are. It really, I like to say it's like therapy, or like someone really committing to the gym. Like, the person that I work with has to be engaged and has to be ready to do it. And it's one of those things where the money one is something that I hear a lot. But what I like to remind people is think about the amount of money and time that you spend buying things that don't look good on you. You know, the amount of money that you'll spend working with me, you'll end up saving it over, you know, the next year.
My day job is in investing, and it's all about return on investment.
Exactly.
And so the return in the mirror, the return in the mm-hmm. image, the return. Okay, so now I have to ask you a silly question. I think it's great that an image consultant came on the radio.
Well, like I said, image is not just the way that you look. It's also how you behave and how you communicate. So it has to do with etiquette. It has to do with, you know, the words that you use, how you say them, nonverbal communication, all of that kind of stuff. So like I said, I've, you know, that's some of a lot of the stuff that comes up in interview prep when I work with people. It's how they're speaking, but also the etiquette that they're using, you know, things like following up with thank you cards and all that. All of that is part of your image. So it's not just the way that you look. The way that you look is important. We always hear first impressions are really important, but it takes less than 2 seconds for us to make opinions about people. That's actually one of the exercises that I do when I speak a lot of times is I'll put up a picture of someone, I'll take it down, and I won't tell people that it's only up for 2 seconds, but I'll say, what did you see? And people don't usually say like, oh, her shirt is wrinkled. Oh, you know, this and that. They say, oh, she looks sloppy. She looks young. She looks like she's an intern. And we make a lot of value judgments in just 2 seconds. So that's, it's one of those things where sometimes we like to tell ourselves like, oh, well, if someone's judging me on my appearance, then it's, they're vain and I don't want to know them. We can't help it. It happens subconsciously. It's part of our fight or flight reflex. So why would you put yourself at a disadvantage to your competition and everyone else around you by not paying attention to something that everyone is going to notice?
Mike, she took my obstacle and ran with it and turned it into an opportunity.
Very well said. Anna Hopkins is the owner of the Elevated Image or Elevated Image. It's got to be tough in a way, Anna, that to separate just your life from your job. Like you're at a mall, you're probably looking at people. You're out at a restaurant, you're looking at people. Is it hard to kind of separate and not be judging people and go, oh, she needs to change that or he needs to be wearing this?
Sometimes, a lot of times...
It could be a curse.
Yeah, sometimes I'm really good at turning it off, and I really try to turn it off in networking situations and stuff because I tell people what I do, and they immediately like start being like, oh, don't look at me, and like they're trying to cover up, and I'm gesticulating wildly because I'm Italian, and I realize I'm on the radio, and no one can see, and now I feel a little silly. But
I like the image, though.
We saw it.
Yeah, so you know, people are trying to cover up and everything. They're like, oh, well. And then I'll have people who say, oh, well, I knew I was going to see you today, so I put on makeup. Or I knew I was going to see you today, so I dressed up. And I'm like, you should do that every day. But for the most part, I try to turn it off. Sometimes there is stuff that is so glaringly wrong that I just can't help it.
Give a couple tips. Like, okay, if you don't wear this or don't do this with this.
Socks and sandals. Never, ever, ever, please, never. I think that one of the pieces of advice that I like to give people is like, just because it's fashionable doesn't mean you should wear it. There's a lot of stuff that is in style and that is fashionable that is only appropriate for like 1% of the population. So look at overall trends versus like, you know, current fashion, because the fashion changes a lot. Trends usually last for 2 to 3 years.
You're probably not big into the droopy pants or anything like
that. No, I can't stand the harem pants. They look like a sad version of hammer pants. And they're not really great on most people. Same with the crop tops. A lot of people who wear them should not be, but we'll see. I find it really interesting how... right now, it's very 90s. I was at like Ross the other day, and they had floral Doc Martens. And I was like, oh, my God, like 15 years ago, I would have bought those so fast and I would have thought I was the coolest.
But don't things come
ever.
Back? And
oh, all the time. But right. it's I'm waiting for the Elaine dresses to come back. You know, like the long floral ones that are sort of shapeless.
Or shoulder pads.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I don't know if those will ever come. So here's, it just struck me. It's a cultural phenomenon. One of the reasons why American Idol was so popular at the beginning, I think, is because they had someone on the show who finally told people what no one in their life would tell them. You stink. Your voice is awful. So you don't say it that way and you don't say it brutally, but part of your job is to go, this makes you look good. That doesn't make you look good. Someone with knowledge, someone with experience, someone who knows what they're talking about, to be able to tell people what no one else will tell them, that top and those pants don't match.
Yeah. And whenever I do closets, I tell people it's like hanging out with your friend. Like I will be honest with you. I won't be mean though. Like that's one of the things, like people are like, it's like what not to wear. And I'm like, sort of. First of all, I don't have $5,000 to give you to buy a new wardrobe, so we work with what you have. Like, we'll get rid of some stuff, but I can't trash your entire wardrobe. And honestly, your entire wardrobe is probably not awful. But second of all, they're just mean sometimes. And I mean, I know it's TV and they kind of have to be, but I feel like that almost makes people nervous about it. Like, that's not – my favorite part is on the first day when I work with clients, one of the things that I ask is, you know, what is your favorite, like, qualities of yourself, and I ask them, you know, both physically and personality wise, and that is the hardest question for people to answer. They can tell you what kind of qualities that, you know, the qualities that they like, and they'll be like, well, I guess I like maybe maybe my eye, like they don't recognize that all they want to focus on is the fact that they have a stomach. Like they don't want to talk about the fact that they have great legs or that they have a really pretty smile or great eyes. Like I really try to focus on that kind of stuff and say like, look, this is not flattering on you, but look at how tiny your waist is. Like if we did this, you would look, you know, you automatically look 20 pounds skinnier just by showing this and hiding this and everything. And so I really try to remind people that, yeah, we all have problems areas, and yeah, you're probably not going to be in the swimsuit edition of, you know, Sports Illustrated next month, but you can still look. I'm sorry, Mike.
What?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You haven't gotten the cancellation notice yet, Mike?
All right.
But at the same time, like you can still look good and feel good about yourself and have that confidence kind of at any age, at any body type. I mean, there's always stuff that you can do. And that's my favorite part of what I do, actually.
I feel like we could talk with Anna forever. We should have another show, a roundtable show. Just bring people in just to ask questions. What about this? How about this? No. Yes. No. Yes.
I'm in. Let's do it.
We could have fun.
She accentuates the positive.
Yes.
It's a great, and you talked about psychology. There's a lot
there's so
to it.
Much.
Yeah.
It's cyclical because when you feel good, you were saying this earlier, when you feel good, you will put more effort into taking care of yourself, and then people will respond better to you, which makes you feel better about yourself, which makes you put more self, like it keeps going.
I just wish she'd be passionate about what she does, you know, and knowledgeable and have a depth of knowledge.
This is really great stuff too. And I see this is, you know, this is not a cost. This is an investment
yes.
in you. I mean, it will change a lot of things. So we've got to have you back.
Yeah, please. I would love it. Like I said, if you let me talk about it for, I'll go on.
We'll
for
just
forever.
Turn the mic on and let you go.
But now Mike has to take his socks and sandals off before he goes to the next interview. So he's going to wrap up with you here.
Only if you take off your shoulder pads.
I'll do that. Hold on. Let me get
all right. Anna, for those that want to find out all about Elevated Image, give us your website and any other contact information.
So my website is theelevatedimage.com. And you can find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/elevatedimage.
Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're going to see you again soon.
Good. I'm excited.
not to diss any of our other guests. They're like, wait a minute. I wasn't invited back.
I had a good interview.
Everybody is welcome back. Okay. It's an open door policy here at Gwinnett Business Radio.
Good save, Mike.
There. Wow. All right. Say that again, Wayne.
It all depends on if you want to try our new beer this summer.
That's right. You just lost your invitation to their new...
No, no, Wayne's always got open door all the time.
Actually,
for
you invited yourself to do a live show there. So, yeah, we're still safe.
And I want you to know we don't discriminate against socks and sandals.
Fact, just bad beer.
Usually that's you don't want to go to one of their staff meetings at the Monkey Wrench Brewery. You don't want... You would just... No, it would
but
not
they do
out.
Produce an image. And so that image fits. Okay, I'm just trying to save everybody.
Is everybody happy?
I am.
Okay, well, I'll make sure everybody's good now. All right, moving on here, Gwinnett Business Radio. Our next guest, and she's got to follow all this now, is Connie Catalano. She is with 31 Training. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
I'm having fun. I mean, I'm in a great group here with the beer. Of course, I don't drink beer, but I might try yours. And as far as Anna, we're going to have to get together because the part she does, I do the human relationship.
Yeah, there's obviously a relationship, a working relationship between the two of you. So 31 Training, tell us about your company.
Okay, 31 Training, I developed this business. It's a small business training, and I used to work for a very large training company for many, many years, about 16 years. And I loved it, and it was great. But I had found out that... after time changed, things the world was changing, that people could no longer afford the large amounts that this training company had produced. And so I decided I was going to find a way to serve small business people and individuals and allow them to get the training they really wanted and needed for a small cost. And I devised a program where they get it in increments or segments rather than all at one time. So I offer a couple seminars. One is called 5 Secrets to a Great Presentation. It's only 2.5 hours. But I give people the 5 secrets. I merge. There's an immersion of what the human relation aspect of public speaking is. I also offer a program called Accountability Plus. So if there's people that want to do things, like I could see that the people here are going to do what they said they're going to do. But there's a lot of people out there that don't know how to go forward. So I get them in a 6-week session. And I help them 1 hour at a time for 6 weeks with a plan on how they're going to get where they want to go and do what they want to do. So that's another program that I offer. And I also offer sales training and to small businesses and individuals. And then I have this incredible leadership program, which is a six-month program for it's a once-a-month book and tapes. You can do it yourself. You can train yourself, or you can call me, and I will help you through that. I will coach you through that. But everything I'm talking about is extremely affordable, so small business people and individuals who really want to grow, they need to see me. So, right now, I'm offering a seminar with I'm partnering with the National Business Chamber of Greater Gwinnett, and we are putting on a program called Manage Stress, Move Forward, and Take the Lead. So if anybody has stress, please come to this.
Nobody has stress.
I know. Yeah. That's why we're picking that one, is because everybody has stress. The world is, there's something wrong, and everybody could feel it. So I'm offering three solutions that they will walk out with, and every time they run into stress, they're going to be able to go to those three solutions and get a grip so that they can move forward and take the lead. And we need people that will take the lead today. We don't have enough of them, people who will step up to the plate and say, I can do this, or if they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. So that's what this 1.5 hour program is offering. So if you're interested in that, I would suggest that you email me at connie@31train.com. That would be the best way to get the information on that, and it's a very small cost. It's less than a meal at any restaurant. So please give me a call, and we'll get you in on that program.
I think Connie got everything in there. Well, thank you very much for joining. No. Well, let me ask you this. So I mean, you found a way to make it more affordable mm-hmm. to the typical business leader or salesperson or so forth. Tell us about you, though. You're the one teaching it. What qualifies you? Tell us about your background.
Well, I have been doing training for over 20 years, and I've worked for big names and learned a lot from them. But I have this incredible passion to help people that want to go forward. I was one of those people who started out kind of slow. I didn't go back to college until I was older. And in fact, my kids came up with me on the stage to get my degree. And I had this skill and this talent, but I didn't have any place to put it. And I accidentally fell into training. Someone asked me to do a speech, and that just evolved into a whole nother thing. But I see that people need confidence. I needed that when I was younger, and I didn't have anywhere to go, really. So I didn't know about some of the training, or I couldn't afford the training. So I was learning a lot through books and people who would mentor me. And so I'm offering something that I knew that I needed all through my life. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you want to learn how to do great presentations, or if you want to be able to take your goals and do something, then do some training. And what I have is affordable, and I have a passion to help you. So that's who I am. I just have a passion to see people grow and go to the next step, go to the next level.
And Connie, talk a little bit about the small business owner market and what their frustrations are that you're trying to solve that problem with, because you've talked about the affordability. So if I'm a typical small business owner and I haven't yet discovered you and what you do, what are some of their frustrations, and what are they seeing, and what are they having to deal with where they go, I'm really not able to get the training I need to get?
Well, Steve, I was in a company that I wasn't working with them for training. I just was there having a conversation. It was a networking thing. And this gentleman said, I asked him about his sales marketing. How would he market his company? And he says, you know, I've had this guy with me for like 8 years, but he's missing something. And I don't really know how to train him. I don't know how to mentor him. I don't know if I should send him through training. I don't want to spend $1,000. But I value him, but he's missing a few skills. So I asked him, well, what are those skills he's missing? Well, he's number one, he doesn't ask enough questions when he's at a client. He wants to tell them what we have, tell them what we can do, and he walks out and they know all about us, but we don't know anything about the customer. So I told him, I said, look, there's five questions that you can ask everybody whenever you're going to look to see if they're a good fit for your service or your product. And if you would like, I will sit down with your salesperson and I'll coach him. I'll do 4 weeks of coaching, and let's see if we can get them to the place where you want them to be. So that's one of the things that that they talk about is the lack of skill that their employees have, but they don't know how to help them. They have no clue. So if they just meet with me, I can help them analyze what it is. And leaders, how about managers? I've heard about managers all the time that are having a difficult time. Their employees say they're difficult to deal with and they don't have the human relation skills or they just want to get the job done. Well, I can work with them to help them to get out of the task and into the people. So that's another complaint that they have.
So let me ask you about the name, 31 Training. What's the story behind the name?
Okay, well, here's the deal. I figured young people are not doing a lot of training. That's what I learned in the large training business. They have walked away from it. So I thought an easy name would be something that would attract them so they could say 31, 31. Well, I didn't know there's a lot of 31 things, but 31 Training comes off of 31 concepts that I literally got at a stoplight from all the skills and all the years of training I've done. I started writing these 31 things that everyone needs to do their business. And I'll just give you number one. Number one is someone needs what you have. That's simple. But people don't think about that when they go to talk to a company. They are so anxious to tell them about what they have. They're not even there to figure out if the customer needs what they have. So that's just one. That's principle number one or concept number one. And the rest of them go along with doing business. That's what it is. And it's on my website, which is www.31train.com.
You know me, Stephen. All I'm thinking is, okay, the next time Connie's at a stoplight and another one pops in her mind and now she has 32, she's like, oh, my God, I got to change the whole company name now.
No. Unfortunately, all I thought of was it's a prime number. But that's my curse, not yours.
It's a prime number. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, you're flaunting that Georgia Tech education again.
It's flaunting my OCD and it's my inner curse, so I apologize.
Well, I totally believe that. Things come to you. And they're good, and that's it. They're solid.
Now, I do have to ask one other little follow-up question. Did all 31 come while you were at one stoplight?
That was a long stoplight.
Pretty much. I was in Florida.
I know that stoplight. I've been at that stoplight.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It took three cycles to get through. So that's amazing. Yeah. That is a great story.
Yeah, thank you.
You've got a seminar coming up. I know you want to talk about that. Go ahead and give the details once again. You kind of touched upon it earlier as far as the number of people that you can attend this, the cost, where, all the information.
Okay. So it's Manage Trust, Move Forward, Lead the Way. It's Thursday, March 26th, and it is at 11:30. There's a session at 11:30. To 1 and another session at 6:30 till 8. It's at the Trade Bank International Building, which is 1000 Laval Boulevard, Lawrenceville, Georgia, and it is at the National Business Chamber of Greater Gwinnett. And it's a great chamber that really focuses on small business, as I do, and we can have as many people as possible. We have a pretty large room, so it's, you know, a 1-hour program.
And I would assume, Connie, if people, you know, our interviews are sometimes timeless, and if people can't make this particular one, the best place for them to go would be to go to your website. So why don't you tell us the website, contact,
email.
Because
you'll have future seminars.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have future seminars, yes. I would say email me at connie@31train.com, and I will send you a schedule because my website doesn't have all the seminars on there. So just email me or connect with me at Connie Jean Catalano at LinkedIn. That is my favorite place. Please connect with me. I need to have about 1 million connections. So please connect with me on Connie Jean Catalano at LinkedIn.
1 million connections.
I want 1 million connections. Yes, that's possible.
Set those goals high.
Yes.
Reach for the stars.
Yes,
let me ask you this. Why don't you tease us a little bit? Give us maybe a nugget of one thing people can do to alleviate stress. I don't want you to give away all the secrets, but just give us one little nugget, and we know we can go to the seminar to get more.
Okay. I've had some incredible stress situations in my life that literally would stop another person. And one of the very first thing that I do is just gather the facts. And that's all I'm going to give you. That's what you do. You sit down and you start to gather the facts of the situation. That alone is going to help you to get on a better track.
I do want to say you could drink a lot of monkey wrench beer, but
you could do that too.
But that doesn't solve the problem. That that's just temporary.
That just numbs you.
That just numbs you. Connie, again, give the website any other and the contact information one last time before we let you go.
Okay. Again, link in with me, Connie Jean Catalano. Also,
spell Catalano.
C A T A Catalano. It's kind of like a song, Catalano. Okay,
and I like the whole Italian vibe going on.
We got Italian
on
both sides here in the studio. Connie@31train.com. Please email me anytime. Twitter me at Connie749. I know that's not 31, but it's Connie@749.
But Steven probably say, oh, that's a prime number too.
Well, okay. 7 minus 4 is 3. Yeah. And then I can't get to 1, sorry. Yeah. 9 is 2 away from 1. I don't know.
And I'm on Facebook,
I was getting there.
Too.
Okay, great. Okay. Connie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Connie Catalano with 31 Training. Also, a big thank you to Anna Hopkins with Elevated Image. And Wayne and Joe here from Monkey Wrench Brewing Company. A big thank you to all our guests. A great job as usual. A reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting Gwinnett Business Radio. businessradiox.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and like us on Facebook at facebook.com Gwinnett Radio X. We don't have 1 million likes or 1 million followers, but you know, we're working on it.
We're getting there.
Steven, any parting words?
You know, once when I was stopped at a red light, I had a flash of 31. It was 31 toppings on a pizza for myself. But after I ate it, then I needed some help elevating my image, and I really needed some good beer to drink.
You need to talk to Anna after the show.
Yeah, I think we broke our string of awards with that little comment. So my apologies, Mike.
All right, Steven, I'll see you next time. For Steven, I'm Mike Salmon. We will see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.